They say true love never dies, especially if you transplant its brain into a robot dinosaur. We saw Tammy and the T-Rex. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. We saw Tanny and the T-Rex. Oh, wait. Hold on. We saw Tammy and the teenage T-Rex. I don't know what we saw, but we saw one of those. So you know what that means. People of Earth, and welcome to a virtual How Did This Get Made live event. Today, we will be discussing Tammy and the T-Rex, or at least, like I said in the opening, we think that's what it's called, because this movie, if you've watched it, it will say it's Tanny and the T-Rex. And if you've watched the PG-13 version of the movie, it is called Tammy and the Teenage T-Rex. So there's a lot of titles here. I don't know which version you saw. There's a gore cut. There's a, like I said, a PG-13, a little bit more romantic cut. But the thing that you have to remember is the plot is the same in all of them. And what is the plot? Well, I'll tell you. Denise Richards is in love with Paul Walker, but yet her old boyfriend won't let her go. So he does what any old scorned boyfriend does. He takes her new boyfriend, Paul Walker, out to the animal park to let him be eaten alive by a lion. His body then is taken by a mad scientist, and his brain is taken out and put into the body of an animatronic dinosaur. That's the premise of this movie. Then the dinosaur has its revenge and continues its love story. It's complicated and it's amazing. And I am so excited that we are talking about this film, because this is like one of my favorite types of films, which is it knows it's insane, but at the same time, it is being incredibly insane. It's like they just knew a little bit of how insane they were. They didn't understand the full birth of it, I guess. To talk about this film, we have two amazing people, people who love gore, people who love dinosaurs. Please welcome my co-host, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas.
Come on!
What?
I expect people at home shouting at their screens. I'm waiting for them to stop screaming. Paul?
Yes.
How are you? What's up, jerks?
What's up, jerks? Indeed, Jason, so excited to talk to you about this movie. I mean, thoughts,
excuse me,
have
Paul.
You heard
excuse
about it?
Yeah. Hold on. Hold on for a minute, Paul. Excuse me.
Oh,
I got a
the
steep,
tea is out.
I got to steep that tea for all the tea heads. Tell me what tea you're having in the chat. Report
oh,
in the
man.
Chat. Boom.
It is tea time.
Moroccan mint, baby.
Moroccan mint. I love it. I love that you're bringing it. I went on the liquor route.
Whoa.
I went with Aviation Gin. Ryan Reynolds
Jesus.
Gin.
Is this
come
a,
on.
What is going on? Is I feel like in a different episode you had a Deadpool head.
I did. Look,
I feel like Ryan, you are. Wait, are you like somehow working for Ryan Reynolds?
I don't know. Maybe I'll use my Cricket mobile phone and give him a call and find out.
Wait a minute.
What? Is that
Do you
weird?
Have a Canadian passport now?
All I'm gonna say is, check out The Hitman's Bodyguard. It is going to bring you some joy, and it's so due for a sequel. I cannot wait. I'm glad that movie theaters are open again so I can enjoy that sequel in the theaters where movies
oh, thank
belong.
God. Yes, movies. Keep them in the theaters and out of our homes.
Jason, we were going to do this movie a long time ago. And this DVD has been sitting on my shelf. And I've not opened it until last night.
This
I was so exciting.
This was wild because I only knew the title. I didn't know what we were getting into, but the title alone suggested to me what might happen. So huge reveals straight out of the gate. Paul Walker, right?
Yeah.
Our guy from Brian from Fast and Furious, shocked. I didn't know he was in this movie. Young, looking great, handsome. Denise Richards in this movie, crushing, Stone Cold crushing this movie. I was like, oh, okay, I see what's happening. Then the shit, I was like, okay, cool. This is like a Lost kind of teen, you know, movie.
Yeah.
You insert what appears to me to be the Warriors from the movie The Warriors as a, like the gang of bad guys seems to be ported in from an early 80s gang movie. And then animatronic dinosaur and mad scientist. I was like, how have we never done this before?
I there's so much to break down, but I love any movie that basically feels like someone went on the Jurassic Park ride at Universal and was like, if I could maybe steal one of those, I could make a movie. Instead of the other way around, which is like, those are like the bad versions of what were in the movie. They took that.
It was like, also an interesting thing to be like, oh, I see that Jurassic Park remade dinosaurs. And what I'm going to do is just bring human consciousness to an animatronic dinosaur. Oh. That's a very bizarre move.
I mean, wild, wild move. And you know who loves dinosaurs, who loves a romance, and who loves hats and beautiful hairstyles and beautiful wardrobe? My other co-host, please welcome Miss June Diane Rayfield. June, how are you?
Let me just finish that sip. I'm drinking a glass of wine. I'm doing fine, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Glad to hear that you are fine.
Yeah, I'm drinking wine like an adult woman.
Oh, great.
Well, I'm like an adult woman.
I'm drinking tea like an adult man.
Okay, and I'm going to say something about this because I got a lot of flack. I got a lot of pushback.
Already.
Wait, and is this a flack attack?
This is a major flack attack. I want to say, I thought I made it clear, but it's not that I just don't care for male tea drinkers. I don't care for tea drinkers in general.
Wow. Chat, okay. And the chat is going wild. Ways,
I'm sure the chat, I'm not worried about, I am not here to keep the chat happy. Okay. That's not what I'm doing tonight.
Chappy.
And I don't care if you're chappy or you're not chappy.
Don't.
But I want to say
talk
this.
Talk about chappy.
I think the reason why I've been so turned off to tea drinkers is because when I was at acting school, New York University's Tisch School of the Arts, I was a student for 4 years.
Where are you? Who are you looking at?
Stella Adler Conservatory of Acting.
June brought in a small audience. June brought in a small audience to our house.
You seem to be looking. Yeah, who's over there?
That's mine, right over there. Let her in too.
But, do you have a VIP section?
I've sold a few tickets of my own for a private VIP experience.
I had to seat them. I had to be like an usher earlier. I've been running around. I'm sweating my ass off.
Listen, at Tisch, there were so many musical theater students, and especially women who were always on vocal rest and always drinking tea.
Yes. Here's what I'm going to say.
Just turned
I
my
would
stomach.
Understand if I was like this, like. I love my tea.
There's no other way to drink tea than like that.
No, I'm drinking tea like a goddamn man drinks tea.
And here I am. And once again, as a little like a dichotomy of our show, I'm in between both of you. I'm drinking an alcoholic beverage and I have a tea beverage here too. So I have both sides. And
I'm sorry, Paul. Let me be clear. Iced tea is not what I'm concerned about.
Thank you, honey. That's why our marriage exists.
Let's be 100% clear. It's hot
words
tea
matter.
That you
it's
have
hot tea.
Absolute
and it's
contempt
the, it's
for.
This. It's the soaking. It's the pulling it out. And then
it's,
putting
it's
the tea bag like
soaking.
Next to it.
Don't say it's soaking.
You don't soak
soaking.
The tea bag. Oh,
well,
this
do.
Tea bag is
soaking.
Soaked.
Steep.
No, you steep it.
It's steeping, soaking, whatever. It's the same idea.
Not
and it's
the
so
same.
Gross.
You don't say, I'm going to go out to the hot tub to have a good steep. That's a good soak, right?
All right. Ariel in the chat is saying that tea is the salad of drinks. Now,
yes!
I don't know.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Salad is good.
That salad is good. I didn't know how to take that.
You go out to dinner.
On it.
At this point, after a year and a half, you want to go out to a restaurant, Paul, and have a salad?
Well, I'm not saying it's my main.
But that's what she's saying. Tea is the salad of drinks. It's neither here nor there.
But no, salad is
even
there.
At its best. No. Even at its best, it's never that great.
Well, I agree to disagree.
A nice chai, June.
I'm almost done fully soaking this tea
bag.
That's
the worst. I hate seeing people deal with their tea.
I hate it.
We could spend a lot of time on tea talk.
I couldn't be happier to be here with you both to talk about a truly insane movie.
Oh, by the way, I didn't tell anybody this, but this is just for the chat. We do have a special guest here tonight. Here he is.
Oh!
Wow.
A real T-Rex is here to chat. It was a lot of fun.
Wait, are you doing that? Did you plan on doing the voice for this?
No, I did not plan. I was trying to turn him on, and I couldn't figure out where the on button was.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to say something, actually.
You're going to try and turn him on.
I'm glad you just did that, Paul, because that was one of my first questions. If the T-Rex has the brain of, what's his name? Michael.
Paul Walker. Yeah.
Paul Walker. Yep, if he has his brain, well, why can't he talk?
Okay.
Great. Well, you also notice because he's like made of foam, rubber, and whatever else, like his tongue doesn't move. Like his tongue doesn't have mobility.
He's not a body.
Right, he can send some signals to like pick up a phone and
okay,
to dial numbers.
Okay, we need to talk about how agile he is with those hands. Like tiny T-Rex hands. He manages to get he searches the payphone's change thing for in case there's change in there.
Like he gives a finger to the cops. No, the handwork in this clearly is a wink at the audience because, well, I mean, let's even take a step back to what June was saying in the beginning. Like this movie is insane simply because most films would say, oh, hey, we have an animatronic dinosaur. Let's make a movie about a dinosaur. And this movie goes, we have an animatronic dinosaur. Let's make the movie about an animatronic dinosaur. Like they're like the premise is he is already like a robot. And so that's a weird thing. Like the robot is.
So you're saying like, why not go to like the Museum of Natural History and get a real dinosaur skeleton?
What it seems to me to be is a Frankenstein kind of riff, which is, you know, giving consciousness to something that is otherwise a non-conscious entity. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Like the mad scientist seems to be very Dr. Frankenstein creating Frankenstein's monster, like it lives kind of thing. But what I couldn't understand, and I agree with you, June, I agree, like, if he can roar, if he can make noises with his mouth
and go,
why?
Yes, that body, not that body. Actually, mostly not that body and not that body and not that body.
Oh my God. That scene is the scene where they're puppeting dead bodies in the window for him to thumbs up, thumbs down. It's one of the best things I've ever seen.
Michael should choose his own body.
You're right. Bring him over to the window.
He's short, but he's thick. You know what I mean, Mike?
No.
He's thinking. No. Yes.
Too short.
Well, you can't have everything, honey.
Hurry up.
He's gonna like this man.
Michael, what about this one?
He's a brother, Michael.
I mean, he's in the back of a tractor trailer. Anything not to see, because when we first meet the animatronic dinosaur, he is on like a platform, that you would display in a museum or on a Jurassic Park, the ride kind of a thing. And so you can't really ever see his feet. And when you do, it's almost better than the hands because it's so janky. But I guess I'm thinking about Frankenstein, and Frankenstein wasn't able to speak. Right. And but you feel like at the end of this movie, you wanted the dinosaur to go like, love, or like, you know, like try for something.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree. And it felt to me like, you know, if they'd allowed for him to grow even rudimentary speech capabilities.
Yeah,
it would have been cool. But we would have been robbed of the Denise Richards game of charades that is sounds
Michael
like okay
Brain.
Sounds like okay
oh,
Michael
my God.
Brain. Brain
Michael
Michael's Brain,
like which
brain is inside you. That jump was wild.
Oh, I get it. Sounds like fingers. No. Rain. Sounds like rain. Rain. Pain. Brain. Name. Brain. Sounds like brain. What brain? Michael. Michael. Brain. Michael. Brain. You have Michael's brain?
By the way, also a complicated game of charades. Like, I feel like he was going like rhymes with like getting to brain. It just seemed too, like, just say, I'm Michael. Yeah. Like, I'm Michael.
He starts with more specificity. He points, he eats the yellow flower like Michael did.
He
points to the bracelet that Michael gave her and says, and points to himself, himself. And she says, Michael gave this to me, Michael. And then he does charades.
By the way, this movie takes place in 36 hours. So I will also say that maybe Denise Richards' character was just still in shock and having a traumatic moment, because ultimately she goes to like whatever dance that is before the boy is even buried, like in the ground. Like, it was like she's pulling herself up by her bootstraps, like instantaneously. She's like, well, I guess I got to go to the dance. I mean, even though my boyfriend was murdered.
There's so little, and it's not stakes, but kind of so many insane things happen in and around these characters, specifically Denise Richards, obviously, but in front of all these other people, inclusive of Billy, the bad guy, who again seems to be 36 and in charge of a group of gang kids from a New York 1980s movie. He's basically out there being like, I'm gonna kill, he's being dragged away by police screaming, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you and I'm gonna murder you. And the police are like, everybody is like, there are nothing matters. Like,
no.
Paul Walker gets dropped in a wildlife sanctuary, is mauled by a lion. And
by the way,
Denise
that
Richards
scene is
terrific and terrifying.
Like, it is
horrific.
Scary.
Because I saw a lot of like janky special effects in this movie, and I love them all, like the flat body, everything like that. But when that person had their head
rolling up the flat body,
I didn't like that.
I mean, amazing. But when that lion had his head, or you know, in his mouth, I was like, I don't know how they did this, because that looks fucking real.
Well, when they cut to Paul Walker in the hospital, he is without a mark on him.
Not a scratch.
He has a black eye.
That's from the fight. That's from the nut grabbing fight. I don't even think that's
from the lion.
We have to talk about the nut grabbing fight as well, or the dick grabbing fight. I'm not sure what they. I'm not sure if they were grabbing dicks, nuts, or the whole package. But
well, I mean that scene made no sense to me.
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
I've never seen any. Is that a thing? Like simultaneous?
That's what I wrote.
Not
is
that
this a
long?
Thing?
not that long. Look, when
what
you're
do you
in a
mean
fight,
not that long, Paul?
What do you mean? Yeah, not that long.
What do you mean not that long?
Well, you
long?
Guys have been in fights.
You might
right?
grab a guy's dick. You might grab a guy's dick in a fight, but only for a second or two.
Yeah, you're not like doing like you're not twisting it. But I'm saying like in a fight, you might want to take a cheap shot at someone's junk, but it's a cheap shot.
Sure.
They kind okay. of had their hands like they were like, I've got my hand on something. Now I'm twisting it. I'm turning it. And then the reveal at the end that Paul Walker goes, I was wearing a cup. So Paul
so
Walker
was acting that whole time?
And then the other guy must have just been grabbing the cup and thinking that those
and
were
not
balls?
Noticed? Not I noticed mean, I've that worn he was a, grabbing I, hard plastic?
I mean, I've worn a cup. I'm wearing one right now. And
here's
it's
the other
very
thing,
hard.
Right?
To, yeah.
If let's say I'm grabbing a guy's nuts right here, right? And even if he's okay. grabbing mine, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, this hand right here.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, but no,
I
but Jason,
him,
but you are,
in the head.
But you're in but so much like, pain that I feel yeah. like you've forgotten about other options. I mean, the thing that I would do, honestly, Jason, is
great.
Someone's grabbing me in the nuts mm-hmm. and okay. I'm grabbing them in the nuts. I would just let go of those other, of those nuts.
Why?
Okay.
In the hopes that they would let go.
No, June, you
like,
can't
give
up. Like,
they're in a suicide pact.
It's a standoff. It's a standoff. You, if you
oh,
let
crazy.
Go, you're admitting weakness.
Well, I mean, like...
I don't
like,
know. They look, they both look like they were in so much pain.
I think what yeah. I didn't like about it was it felt like they were going to do it until something popped. And that, to me, is what... Like, this movie, there's a lot of pops and there's a lot of splurts. And I was like, are we starting there? Because they really were like twisted. Like, it's like, it was
they
like they were winding
things.
It up.
Yeah, they
it was
were
like,
doing
a, it was
things.
Like a grab, you know, they were yeah. like, they were locked on. It was as if, you know, yeah. like the Vulcan nerve pinch or
yeah.
it was as if it's a, an, it seemed as if they both knew an actual move in fights. That mm. was this thing that I've never seen before. The way they, like, during
I've
that
never seen
fight,
anything like
they
that.
Also do a bunch of, like, WWE style, oh. like,
dude, bam,
like wrestling moves that are, like, fake fight moves. So I was like, maybe this is akin to those wrestling moves that are, like, fake grabs that then they just were like, oh, this will be good. It'll be a standoff of crotch grab. And
yeah.
I will say, I was compelled by it. It was fascinating. And
there's so much.
Turns-
this is the thing about the movie. There's so much that's so strange. And granted, I did not watch a lot of the scenes, as Paul said. I can't do that gore. I don't want to see it. It's not for me. But I
see. I'm turning my head on the croc. The crotch grab.
Paul,
is like
I was
where
surprised
I'm like-
actually there because I was looking to Paul. I watched many of the scenes just watching Paul watch them, and. You were more horrified than I've ever seen you.
Yeah, because
you were pretty shocked and had trouble watching a couple of those really gory scenes.
I did, and I'll tell you why. It was too long, and the gory scene that I had trouble with was the autopsy scene. Like,
oh,
I
yeah.
didn't like going into the head. I didn't like Ooh. The head being open like
I
that.
Agree.
I didn't like.
Here's what I didn't like about it. Because I want to back up a full step.
Yeah.
That was not an autopsy scene because an autopsy is done on a corpse. Paul Walker is alive when they cut his head off.
Right.
He
right.
remember he keeps waking up that's and being right. like, whatever. I can't remember what. Forgive me. Denise Richards' name is Tammy.
Tammy.
And he says Tammy.
Or Tammy.
Oh. And then they give him a shot. They give him a shot. He passes out. Then he wakes up again and he's like, where am I? And then the woman, the sidekick to the mad scientist, the woman who is like his muscle, I think, just yeah. punches Paul Walker back into unconsciousness. They start to drill into his head. He wakes up again. She punches him again. And then they drill with a drill from home.
Oof.
They drill his head off.
He is
alive. It's and not an autopsy.
Yeah, and the brain, because the brain needs to be alive. And there's, that
but
scene
speaking
that
of
scene
the brain being alive, though, so he doesn't, he's mm-hmm. not able to speak as a dinosaur. But then there's some sort of, at this point in time, there's a computer program that is able to get his voice at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, because Denise Richards at the very end, after the dinosaur's been killed, is able to take his brain and attach it to
a video camera
that's attached to the brain can output.
That's in her room.
That's in her room.
In a bowl.
I thought it was in Tupperware.
You would think it would be in a lab. It is in a teenager's bedroom.
And like, there's no top to that bowl. It's just out in the air.
That bubbling bowl.
Loose brain.
I guess what I'm really worried about in that scene, and again, we're jumping all over and we're hitting all the big beats, but when that brain ejaculates, like the explosion that goes on there, it was pretty, like that also upset me. Does that happen all the time? Does she make his brain explode like that all the time? Because it doesn't seem good.
Well, it sparks. When he comes while she's doing a sexy striptease, again, upstairs in her teenage bedroom while her parents are downstairs.
But her parents seem to know that this is going on.
Yes, the brain sparks and is like, fits, 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 but it's in water. So doesn't that seem to say, like, is the brain in danger of electrocuting itself? Like, I'm also concerned who let her be in charge of.
Well, I guess we
can't let the brain go back to drunk guardian. I mean, he can't control that.
Uncle Bob.
Control the brain.
I mean, Uncle Bob had some issues. I mean, there's so much here. I want to almost, if you would let me, go back to the very beginning when we open up on a dance scene to a song that I have the lyrics here for.
Oh my God,
I
need to talk about that
this
scene.
This song.
Avril Haley, obviously she picked this movie, but what she did was a real a favor, which is she wrote down all the lyrics to the song, Dinosaur Man. So I have them. We can kind of go through there, but as we're talking through it, maybe we can just play the clip of Denise Richards dancing in this opening here, where she is. Here, this is clip 11.
I want to say that my first note was that I thought this song was awesome. I was like, it made me really excited for this movie, how awesome this song is. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, yeah, so here it is. We'll just see.
Go, go Panthers! Go, go, go Panthers! Go, go Panthers! Go, go, go Panthers! Go,
dinosaur man, your T-Rex on the loose. I'm coming out to get you. I'm gonna cook your goose. I'm a dinosaur man, a prehistoric dude. King of the jungle.
All right, and I have more of the lyrics here. It's like, you know, king of the jungle coming after you. I'm a T-Rex on the prowl, a reptile on the move. You better watch your step. I'm coming after you. Dinosaur music inside my brain. Sometimes I feel like I'm going insane. I feel the rumble. I feel the roar. Dance to the music of the dinosaur. And I'm going to ask you this. Was that music diegetic? Were they dancing to that song, or was that song scoring their dancing? Okay.
No, I think that I don't think it was diegetic.
Now, my question is, what is this? What is this activity? Like, are they cheerleaders? Are they on a dance team? What are they preparing for? And when do they actually perform that routine?
So no, they are not part of a dance squad. This is an after school club for women whose boyfriends will eventually be put inside a computer. And this is for them to practice their striptease so they can keep a healthy relationship until they find a proper body. So all that, like, it's kind of like a club or something like that.
My assumption was that this was cheer practice because they seem to be in high school and Paul Walker seems to be wearing football clothes when they have their interaction directly after this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they seem to be all in high school, and Billy and the Warriors seem to be in their 40s
There is a woman I'm going to need to talk about for roughly 3 hours, and that's Billy's, like, the woman who has the hots for Billy on his side of the tracks.
The two girls in the Jeep.
Specifically the blonde woman.
Yes.
I, from the moment... she came on screen. I could not take my eyes off of her. Her performance was deranged.
Yes. It was she's unwell. The most interesting character
I
in the movie.
I could not take my eyes off of her. She was going for it on a level. I learned things. I said to myself, June, don't hold back. Like,
when
look
they
at what she's
are
up to.
Beating the shit out of Billy with baseball bats and so forth, she's laughing so hard that you are like, now what is her? Also, she and her friend are in a Jeep with no doors and no top. And they drive into a big cat sanctuary where they all get out of their cars. They're all like, they're,
by the way, they drive into it. Like, they don't like toss them over a fence. Like, they go,
exactly,
they go into the planes.
Like, they don't dump them into a lion enclosure. They all drive like a mile into a wildlife big cat sanctuary. They all get out of their cars. They beat the shit out of them. They leave them behind. Then he gets eaten by a lion.
How many times have they done this? Because they do it with such ease, and it feels like they all are on the same page. It wasn't like, I got a plan.
That's kind of the weird thing about this town, is that the police are also not that impressed with what's going on. Not that surprised, honestly. And
never shocked.
Even looking at those bodies in the morgue, like all these young people in the prime of their lives dead. You know, and it does, it's like something we've got Tammy and the T-Rex going on, and that's a story, but trust and believe, like, some other major things are happening in this town.
This is a small town. Okay. Yeah. It's like Twin Peaks, basically, because everything seems like young people happy, having parties, small town cops kind of eating while they investigate whatever crimes, and then something insane happens, right?
Yes.
Because when they come upon the massacre at the party, that the T-Rex has come, he's killed all of Billy's gang, he's bitten the leg off the blonde girl that you love, June, he's trampled the car, squishing the guys underneath it.
Like
great deaths, great gore, great super fun, and these guys are like, come over here. You're not going to believe this. They're poking things with a stick and being like, is that a nose?
One cop is itching his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess all this stuff goes to show you, like, every actor made a choice. And even though they weren't necessarily all on the same page, every choice was right. Like, it's a weird way of saying it, because I feel like there are performances that are so oddly grounded. Like, I think Denise Richards makes this whole movie work. She never winks at the audience once. Like, her and her best friend, they're like down the middle straight men to this entire thing. And it's wonderful. Like, I was like, wow.
Well, she does do that one thing that drives me insane. And we talked about it last night, Paul. She kind of, everything is kind of laughed through. And she kind of laughs through all of her scenes. And it's like always a laugh. And it drives me bonkers. But she is going for it. I mean, everybody in the movie is, Paul Walker included. Like, they are all delivering.
Yes.
They are trying their hardest to be in 10 Things I Hate About You, or She's All That, or some sort of teen comedy. They seem to be giving it their all to be in a teen comedy, but the movie is like, JK, you're in an insane movie. They have to keep rationalizing it or normalizing by their performances that insane things are happening. To your point, exactly, when they have to go to the morgue to find a new body to put the brain in, she's having so much fun, like, looking at like, it's as if they're body shopping.
Well, I was gonna say, it's like a dress up montage in an 80s comedy, but with dead bodies, like in a morgue.
Yes.
And it's like, wait, what? And like, and then when you have to, like, when you,
like,
kick
should
it
I wear
in,
this or should I wear this or should I wear there, this?
But there's something like so realistic about it, because the bodies are never at the same height as the two of them. They're always like, a little bit lower.
They're lugging them. they're having trouble moving like 90 pounds of dead flesh.
Paul, I have to interrupt the show for a second.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here watching us, and your setup and the way you look is so different from the way Jason and I look on screen.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So we're all just accepting that.
Well, there's a reason for that. That is,
why
technical.
Does Paul look like he's Paul at a studio somewhere?
Paul is now using a better camera than you and I.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no big deal.
He texted me beforehand and said, check this out. I'm going to make you guys look like shit.
Okay.
And then
I would have loved a heads up.
June, do you not know that this is in place? He has remote lights set up in your home.
I feel a lot right now. The last time we did this show, he didn't have all that.
All I'm going to say to you, June,
that's true.
Jason, you and I look like shit.
Dog shit. We look like dog shit.
We literally
look
like...
And forgive me, you are so beautiful and I love you, but we look like literal dog shit.
You're a beautiful man and you look horrible. And I do too.
Dog shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Right?
Wow. Wow.
You know what? We're going to have to talk about this offline because
it's fine. Let's move on with the show. It's just like, we got to talk about it. This is crazy.
This can't be how we move forward. And if people want to send us cameras so that we can look better, they need to do so.
Jason, I know where Paul is in our home, by the way, and it looks like you're in like a cool New York City like underground comedy club, like recording live from
because my Twitch shows and stuff like that. Like, but again, I can change the color of the lights. What do you want? You know what? For you, sweetheart. I'll give you whatever color you want. What do you want, sweetheart?
I don't like the way he's calling you sweetheart. I don't
sweetheart,
like that.
Sweetheart, tell me what lights you like, babe. I'll give you whatever color you want.
Look great. I'm happy for you.
Let's talk about the opening of this movie because I don't want to get even too far away from this. Very rarely do you see a film where every character name is put in the beginning. Like it was like the opening of Gilligan's Island here in the beginning of this movie. Like every character has a name. And did you guys both see the part where it says Tanny? I mean, if everyone sees Tanny, but yeah, it is boldly front and center Tanny. Denise Richards is Tanny.
What do you think that's about? Like, how does that make it through every iteration of this movie getting released, et cetera? How do they...
Apparently, according to the limited research that I have from Nate Kiley, who did an amazing job, that the person who did all the titling didn't watch the film and misheard Tammy as Tanny. But Tammy is a name. Tanny is not.
Like, well, and if also, you were to be neither like, is... Neither is a name you said at the beginning of the show, Tawny.
Oh, that is also, yes.
Although I guess Tawny Katane was a person. So Tawny is maybe a name.
Yeah.
Maybe Tanny? I'm not sure. It's fun. It's weird that it made it through. I can see a typo happening, but I guess maybe this is such a low budget thing. They were like, well, it's in there now. We can't kind of fit. We can't go back.
I mean, low budget, Jason, this is a $1 million movie. I mean, 1 million. It's not super low budget.
Is there a world in which, because it went by pretty quickly. Now, full disclaimer,
minutes.
I did have an edible at the beginning of the movie. And so everything I say has to be sort of seen through that lens. But I thought, maybe that font is just one of those fonts where the N's look like M's and you can't really
see that.
No, it is Tanny. That is definitely Tanny. As everyone in the Discord, everybody who tweeted at me has shown me, it is Tanny. It is a front and center. This movie is Tanny and the T-Rex, even though it's Tammy and the T-Rex. And
wait a second. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Because I saw it when it was... When the typo was, does the typo occur numerous times or just?
No, just in the opening sequence.
No, well, the typo is Tanny and the T-Rex. The movie as released is Tammy and the T-Rex. At the opening title, when you see Denise Richards, it says Tanny. And then in the final credits, it says Tanny. Huh.
Okay, that's what I missed. I only saw it once when it was Denise Richards as Tanny or something, when it was something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it said Tanny and the T-Rex. Like, I didn't see the title card.
Oh, yeah, the title card is Tanny.
Okay, wow.
And I think there might be one that is a fixed version of it, but when Vinegar Syndrome restored the gore cut, they restored it to its epic beauty the way it was meant to be. So I think the PG-13 version might be Tammy and the T-Rex on the title.
You think they restored, they went back to.
Oh, they definitely
Tanny
did. I get it. Yeah.
Now.
So in 2017, a 35mm print of an alternate pre-censorship cut of the film was discovered under the title Tanny and the Teenage T-Rex. And that is a version that has six minutes more of gore because they had to cut all of it out very clumsily to get a PG-13 rating. And it only appeared on VHS once in 1994. And so they, at Vinegar Syndrome, restored the film to a 4K resolution and got it out there, last year, right before, the pandemic.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God we got this in 4K.
This movie, by the way, I think it falls into a category of a gnome named Norm, right? Theodore Rex, which is
so much better than gnome named Norm.
100%. But I'm just talking about like the idea of, you know, weird creature, real world.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally agree.
Mac and Me. And I was looking and I was like, this director, by the way, has directed two How Did This Get Made movies. He directed Mac and Me and Mannequin on the Move. He directed, So this guy is,
so his
often,
like, specialty is, one of the main characters is a puppet or a something, you know.
Yes, an inanimate object come to life. Sometimes, like with Mac and Me, that is an inanimate object that comes to life, and then a mannequin is truly an inanimate object that comes to life.
I mean, we still haven't gotten to the bottom of where the butt starts.
I mean,
we still, and this movie didn't help us.
Never got to it. No, we're even further away from understanding.
That's the thing: is the final episode of How Did This Get Made will solve the problem.
We'll bring a doctor in. By the way, we did have somebody in the chat solve one of our problems. This is someone talking about how dinosaurs could actually speak. So this is in 1976, Smith, I don't know who the Smith is, conducted groundbreaking research demonstrating that dinosaurs and humans have similar articulatory systems, assuming equivalence of cognition, and should express mirrored speech outputs. So that means that dinosaurs, if they had the means, could speak. But again, I would say that's useless information because this is not a dinosaur. This is a animatronic.
When did, because, okay, so remember we see the scene where they, as we were discussing earlier, they use household jigsaws and whatever to perform surgery and remove the living brain out of beautiful young Paul Walker. They hook it up to the animatronic dinosaur, and they poke around to see if they can get it to move. And then the doctor says, tomorrow I'm going to put the brain in the dinosaur and it's going to be all set.
Can I just stop you for 1 second, Jason?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because that scene really upset me. There's a couple things that upset me in this movie.
Yeah.
And when they made him get an erection and they started puppeteering his erection, I was like, there are things that really like got me on a humane level. And I know it's a movie, but I was like, it felt cruel to be giving this boy an erection.
Like a Frankenstein story is about corpses being brought back to life, right? Like they steal corpses, they're grave robbers, whatever. This is a living boy. This is a young man who they just wantonly, like, they think he's in a coma, and then he wakes up repeatedly. They kill him by sawing his head off. Then the two henchmen are eating pizza with his skull in between them and are tossing the crusts in his skull.
That's
like it's a
the
bowl.
Shit that when they
what?
Went and his head, and I think that what? Was the thing that got me, like the other what? Side of his head looks so insane, and it look, and then when you saw
I
the dinosaur
see
seeing they're putting pizza crust in my skull, it was like I felt for the dinosaur more in that moment than ever before. And that young doctor, was he a young doctor? He looked like he could have been 12 to me, the doctor.
Oh, the other one.
Oh, with the glasses?
Yeah. There were some shots of him. He looked very like a small child.
Yeah.
He had like a Toby Jones vibe to me. Like,
okay.
You could have put him, or something like that. You could have put him also, like, he also reminded me of the Nazi who's hunting after the medallion in Indiana Jones.
Oh, yes. He had that kind of
a,
yes.
Like, he has that kind of a vibe. He's like he wants the computer to be controlled by his computer program, not by this brain. This human brain is dumb. And that's why he taunts the dinosaur, like, you fucking idiot.
And
you're
never,
an idiot. Right. Fuck you.
And he never cleans the blood off him. He is soaked and caked in blood. And he's like, never wipes his face, eating pizza covered in blood, staples his head back on. Oh, God.
The other thing that drives me crazy is during the entirety of the surgery, all of it, the sawing into the head, the blood is everywhere. It's very gory. Blood is everywhere. He's installing the thing. The doctor, the mad scientist doctor, has a mask, as we all know now. Yeah. We understand we wear masks and surgeons wear masks, blah, blah, blah. But the mask is on, he's doing the thing where he has the mask only on his chin the whole time. It's pulled down so that it's not covering his mouth at all. It's just, why have him wear a mask at all then?
I've asked this question of many people I've seen through this pandemic. Why wear a mask at all? What's the point?
Yes.
You would think that he would have some self-preservation there, simply not to get the blood in his mouth. That seems to be the big thing.
I want to ask you a question, Paul, and I hope this is a safe space to do so, but there was one moment in the movie where those two kind of lecherous cops were watching Denise Richards walk away, and they said, they're trying to figure out where Michael, the T-Rex, is, and one of them says, I know she's been with him, and the other one says, how do you know? And he says, I can tell by the way she's walking.
Oh.
Yes, I wrote that down as well.
Well, I'm scared
to know. They're intimating.
What does that
mean? They're intimating that she and the T-Rex had sex. And what my question was, because they also wake up post-coitally cuddling. My question was, have they been hooking up? have Tammy and the T-Rex been hooking up?
Well, then it goes back to the question of, and I had a question about this, and I think it's all going to tie together. When they are in the morgue and they are looking at the bodies.
Yeah.
Her friend pulls down the sheets and she looks and she's like, ooh, not that one. But it seems like her friend is like, no, that's a good dick. And she's like, no, that's not a good dick. And I couldn't quite understand. Like, my thought is the friend is like, it's a big dick. And she's like, I don't like, it's too big.
No, Paul, that's not what happened.
Okay, no.
Byron's trying to move merch. He's trying to get a body.
Okay. Okay.
He's trying to get a brain in a body.
He doesn't work for the morgue.
Let's go. Like, Byron's this like, one, that one.
Listen,
who cares? Let's get a brain in a body.
I got to move these bodies. Yeah. We got a 2-for-1 right now.
Yes.
Let's go. He's even offering up women. He's like, what do you think?
Absolutely. He's a good looking guy. And then he pulls the sheet down. I didn't read that as he was saying, like, looks great. I think he was just sort of showing her, and her reaction was it was too small a dick.
Okay.
That's what I thought, too, because that guy was also too short.
How did she know how short he was?
Because they bring him and hold him in front of the window.
They bring that guy out?
I think so.
Yeah, he's one.
Maybe,
he's
I'm
the
sorry.
First
maybe
head.
I'm.
I don't know.
Maybe
but
I'm.
Here's another question:
two people.
Like, is the T-Rex male? The T-Rex.
Okay. Well,
this
it's a robot.
This is a fascinating question because it's a robot. So did they build the robot to be anatomically correct?
Well, dinosaurs
have
dicks?
Did they give it a gender?
I don't think that dinosaurs have... We know he has functioning hands, right?
Wait, did you just say dinosaurs don't have dicks?
Well, I was like, I was just saying where... I've seen Jurassic Park, yeah.
That's the T-shirt. Dinosaurs don't have dicks.
I asked. Maybe it's like an innie belly button that comes. I don't know.
Do dinosaurs dream of electric dicks?
I mean, I'm sure.
Do we know if that? I mean, can you both answer that dinosaurs have dicks? You guys can.
I can't answer that actually.
I'm willing to say yes. Dinosaurs have dicks for procreation.
Some dinosaurs have dicks.
So you're saying that Jurassic Park is whitewashing dinosaur culture by not having. Like dicks out, like they're like Bruce Banner when he transforms into the Hulk.
Well,
like,
I don't know if they're whitewashing it because I think they're dick washing it. I think those dicks are washed.
All right, well, here's what the chat is saying. The chat is saying at least the oldest dinosaurs most likely had penises of some form, although the shape and size unknown. It does seem like dinosaurs mostly reproduced mounting.
Yeah.
Similar to animals today, but they were likely some exceptions due to defenses such as spikes or bony plates. That's what I'm saying. Like, let's get to the bottom of this thing. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know.
Listen,
yeah, I don't know either. I mean, they laid eggs, so I don't know. Yeah,
birds don't have penises. And dinosaurs are basically birds. Male birds and crocodiles
are
have
not birds. Dinosaurs,
they are.
Some dinosaurs are birds, Jason.
Some dinosaurs are, of course. But male birds,
not all dinosaurs.
Male birds and crocodiles have a penis that emerges from the cloaca to deliver sperm.
Dinosaur sex must
have, I believe it's cloaca.
Cloaca, got it. Dinosaur sex must have followed an insert tab A into slot B game
plan.
This
is like the shape of water? The Guillermo del Toro movie.
Okay, well, go back to what you said, June. I think what they're intimating the cops is that she is walking funny because she just had a night of hardcore fucking.
With a Tyrannosaurus, with a 12-foot Tyrannosaurus
Rex. Okay. Was she walking funny?
I don't think so.
I feel like there were some lines that might have been improvised here. Look, there's no secret of this movie. They had 2 weeks to write the film, and the director is very open to saying that we really just asked people on the day, is there anything better we can say or do in this movie? And people just came up with their own stuff, and that's what kind of made it in. Because
Let me ask
basically,
you this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why not just have Paul Walker's character die? Right?
Sure.
He dies, and the mad scientist is like, I can keep him alive in some way, you know, so that it is a rescuing from death rather than maliciously killing him in order to get his brain. This is a teen like romp. Why not just have him be killed?
Here's the weird thing too. Like, here's another version of the movie I think I would have preferred. So Paul Walker is like a very kind of typical teenage jock, hormonal, horny, athletic, and then becomes a T-Rex. I wanted to see, he can stand up for himself. Listen, Billy's a maniac and an abusive, terrible person, but Michael can hold his own and seems like a popular guy. And he also seems like he's getting Denise Richards. A better movie to me would have been making Michael a nerdy, kind of shy, bookworm who then becomes a fucking T-Rex.
Yes.
Like,
who
that's
gets beaten up instead of being able to hold his own with Billy. You know, they're at a standoff when they have the nut grab. Instead of that, why not have Billy kick his ass? He gets, you know, down in the dirt. Like, he is thoroughly dismissed, but then he turns into the dinosaur and can get revenge. It seems like, narratively, this movie is needlessly complicated for the kind of movie it is.
I have no questions. Like, at the same time,
I agree.
Like, listen, like, you know, the other movie I would have liked to have seen out of this movie was a movie about Byron the friend and his dad.
His dad, his dad, the sheriff.
I was like, I want to know what's gone on here.
Oh, to your point earlier, June, about when the cops say she's walking funny and the presumption that they had sex. When Byron shows up to the barn where they are, he comes in and he says, are you decent? Right? He says, are you decent in there? Which is, again, something you say when you presume people might be naked in there from doing, yeah. from
Well,
sex.
I say that every time I go into a barn for just to multiple purposes. Check. Like, we know that that's where people, you know, like horses might be getting it on, cows, pigs. So I always knock and say, are
so
you decent?
So what would it take for a horse to be decent and or not decent?
That penis would be in or out. Like, it's an innie or an outie. Like, they can shoot
Wait,
out
horse
too.
Penises are in or out? We gotta do a download on how penises work.
No. They shoot out. There's a thing that shoots. I had horses growing up. I'll tell you this.
I saw our dog's penis the other day out, and I never want to see that again.
No.
It was the first time I've seen it, and we can move on. But
I will say this. Talking about uncomfortable things, I turned to June last night and I said, I feel like this is the first time I've watched a movie and felt old, because when I watched Denise Richards and Paul Walker kiss, it felt like too much for me. I was like, ooh, these are too young. I don't want to see, like, I shouldn't be looking at like 12-year-olds kissing or 14-year-olds or whatever.
Well,
that's
how I felt when she was doing the strip tease at the end.
Yeah.
Because I was like, the weird juxtaposition of the fact that she drives home, says hey to her parents, everything's great. She goes upstairs, she turns on the camera, and then it's like she's doing a striptease for a brain in a bowl in her childhood bedroom. And I was like, now what the fuck is going on? This is absolutely wild. What this, like, again, the movie makes choices that are so bizarrely left field in what would normally be like, in the normal version of this movie, they would have found a body to put his head in and at the end of the, his brain in. And at the end of the movie, she is now on a date with the new person that contains his brain, and they get to be together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's so many things I want to break down. I also want to just talk about the way that this boy, the boyfriend, runs the town. This boy and his friends just storm the house, like do a home invasion Tammy's family. And they're
nothing
like, what?
Nothing is scarier to me than like a group of teens running in.
Yeah. Oh,
and terrifying.
The dad and the mom is like, should we call the police? And the dad is like, no, I can handle this. And like,
no,
30 members
sir.
Of a gang
sir,
pile into their home.
Handle it. Yeah.
Like Marx Brothers Night at the Opera level, like rump, rump, rump. Like they're all, and by the way, there is a lot of delay because they all come running up the stairs. I'm like, were they having a hard time finding the bedroom? Because Paul Walker and her have a whole dialogue scene before he leaves. And then Paul Walker is kind of dumb too, because he doesn't just like run out of there. He kind of is hanging, like it's almost like he's hanging out in the driveway, like, and then he gets caught. Of course he does. Too silly.
It's got to weigh really heavily on Denise Richards, because she tries to be like, you shouldn't do, I'm dangerous, Billy's going to be after you. And then it like comes true. Like he comes over and it leads to his death. The funeral, we haven't talked about the funeral. Also, the T-Rex moves around so freely during daylight hours and nobody ever sees it. They're in a suburban neighborhood. The T-Rex walks up to her window of her house, second floor window. She passes out. The T-Rex takes her and walks away with her. Nobody reports it. All the people at the funeral, and the T-Rex is, she keeps looking over and being like, well, there's the T-Rex. Nobody else sees it. It's almost like this movie is about a woman who in the morning of her boyfriend, she feels so guilty that she got this boy killed, that she manifests an imaginary Drop Dead Fred style T-Rex who's going to fix everything. At the end of the movie, if it was revealed that she did all the murdering herself, imagining herself to be the T-Rex, like I'm talking like a Fight Club reveal,
where
it's revealed that she's been the T-Rex the whole time. That and she's just been getting vengeance on the people who killed Michael. Better movie.
By the way, I also want to say that people in this town, something has happened to all of them. Because when Billy comes in and goes, a dinosaur's jaw clamps onto either side of his head. And his friends go, oh, he's just joking around. What? And then he's lifted out of fire.
Why are they in a tent?
But you know what? I think a lot of people in this town, when they first see the dinosaur, assume that it's I got the sense that people are used to seeing dinosaurs there as like attractions. Like they're used to seeing giant dinosaur displays.
Okay. Okay.
So because so many people just like see it and don't register right away that this is a dinosaur.
They think it's like a they think it's a just statue, like, like a statue or a something. Is. You know,
I mean, by the way, it is like when we first see it and it's shot in this beauty shot, it is on a pedestal. And in the theory of this movie, the pedestal would always be attached to the feet because it's not real.
They had to somehow get it off, I guess.
But yeah, I guess I don't understand.
There's so much I don't understand. But yet, to you, to exactly your point, I was never confused, but I was always like, huh, like, why doesn't anybody else know? Like, shouldn't the, in other words, shouldn't the police, because the police keep hearing reports of a dinosaur, from the party goers, you know, Byron tells his dad there was a dinosaur, like, people are being told there's a dinosaur. Why isn't the police being flooded with phone calls from people who are like, I just saw a dinosaur walking down the street, abducted a girl out of her home. Like there's a dinosaur. They seem to be, they spend so much time being like, come on with this dinosaur talk. This is nonsense.
By the way, they're finding bodies mutilated. Like their bodies, like they're finding
everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. Even if they didn't know about a dinosaur, there still should be some level of panic about a serial killer, a wild animal, like something is creating havoc in this town.
And the police are treating it so blasé.
Yes.
Let's say all of this death and destruction was not being caused by a dinosaur, but was instead just being caused by an individual, and they still treated it this blasé. I would be like, what's happening? Yeah. Even still, they're just cracking jokes, defund eating the police, nuts, man. Hanging out, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we look at come over here. We check this out, and poking it with a stick. Is that his nose? What is it? Like, I was like, this
by
is
the way,
fucking nuts.
I will say that, I mean, again, this town has seen a lot of stuff. We know that Denise Richards, the sequel that I want to see is Denise Richards going from town to town, from morgue to morgue. When she says a ski team was killed, I got to go check out that body. Like, this is a town that is used to this kind of level of death.
Well, by the way, Paul, that's what's interesting about the ending of the movie is you get the sense that the next movie is about how, and this I was honestly like, fascinated by, that nobody physically was good enough for her. So she was going to force this dude to stay as a brain in a bowl
until
for
the
rest of his life because
it's so selfish.
It's so selfish because no one was good enough and no one looked good enough to her.
That is
like can you imagine? Crazy. Now, my question is, and this is, I think, for you, June, especially, like, is there a world in which Denise Richards is on episodes of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever, and her husband is a brain in a jar?
Okay, her husband is a brain in a jar.
And I'm
not saying that is her husband is a brain in a jar.
Her husband is up to some weird, like her husband, what is he like? He's got some weird, like he's into some weird body science.
And he's like convinced the FBI is following him and he does like this weird.
He's like a Dr. Frankenstein, right?
Well, he's not a Dr. Frankenstein, but he's
I didn't realize I opened up a real can of worms.
You have. He's like a wellness expert who's developed a technology where you get like some sort of electric waves. There's a machine that you hook up to, and he considers himself a real healer and is also convinced that because his technology is so good and cancer curing.
Yeah.
That like big pharma and the powers that be are following them. He talks about it on the show. So he has the persona, I'm dead serious, of someone who like was a brain in a bowl and was transferred to his body, but in that
transfer. So you think this is the body she chose?
It's possible. I'm saying it's possible.
We should fingerprint this guy and see if he died skiing in the early 90s.
I'm going to say he's so all about electrical all about electrical impulses.
He is, but you get the feeling like when that transfer happened that like Paul Walker was hooked up, but there was a moment where there wasn't any electricity. Like there's a moment where he just, you just sort of have to transfer over and that some damage was caused.
Okay. Okay. I can see that. Okay.
I want to say three words and just get your reactions to them. I'm good, right?
Wait, what is it?
When that guy is having sex with the girl and he keeps on yelling, I'm good, right? I'm good, right? I'm good, right? I was like, that was one of the most shocking and disturbing. I was like, what is one of the best choices, one of the best lines?
But you know what?
It was a psyche of a character. Yes.
It totally explains why he's such a bully, because he's so insecure.
It was the best piece of writing. That film should be nominated on that line alone. Like it was, I'm good, right? I'm good, right? It was so, I've never seen that in any movie. I've never, like, it was so revealing. It was so honest. It was so crazy.
It was a lot.
The other scene that was very kind of emotionally revealing, much like that one was when the T-Rex watches his own funeral and cries tears down his T-Rex face. Like water leaking out down the rubber T-Rex face. How? Let me ask you this. It's an animatronic T-Rex.
Yeah, where are those tears coming from?
Where is that? What liquid is that? Did they install tear ducts in the T-Rex? Like, how does that work? The T-Rex also laughs at jokes, looks at itself in a mirror, uses a handheld mirror to look at itself. Like, when he kills the little scientist and the pizza guy runs away and blah, blah, blah. He picks up a mirror and looks at himself to be like, what am I? Like, what am I? I am
curious.
A T-Rex.
Let's check
and
it out.
And then he uses a payphone. It is the
and then leaves the roar.
He dusts Byron's shoulders off. Like, he has such easy manipulatable hand. Dexterity. Thank you. Is exactly what I was looking for. It's very strange. Sorry. All right, I just noticed I wrote a bunch of those things down.
I want to say this, and I want to get to the audience questions, and I know we're all over the place, but I want to say this. I love Terry Kaiser. Terry Kaiser is the main bad guy. Terry Kaiser is Bernie.
Really?
From Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah. He is, you know, he, no, not,
wait,
he's
what?
Dr.
No.
Gunther. That's Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, the doctor, the mad scientist.
The mad scientist.
Sorry. Yeah.
June, are you taking that in?
That's Bernie?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
I'm going to go on the record right now and say something that I've never said publicly.
Nothing. I'm scared. Consider it. Okay.
That performance of Bernie is one of the most realized physical comedy performances of all time. Like, you don't think he's doing anything. The reason why Weekend at Bernie's is a success is because of Terry fucking Kaiser. That guy, watch that movie. It is Charlie Chaplin level.
Yeah, like, I hear you, Paul.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's a dead body for an entire movie.
Yes.
It is wild and wonderful. Terry Kaiser, and he brings an energy to this thing. But I was going to ask you both, do you know what his plan was? Because I have it. I wanted to see if we could guess it first.
Well, okay, I'm curious what you thought, Jason, but there was a moment where I was like, I actually think I agree with what he's trying to do. Or I feel like it was more generous than I expected. So I think he's trying to sell and patent this procedure so that when people die, they can stay alive by getting their brains into other bodies. But the way he described it at one point, and I think it was watching the funeral, it seemed to be that he was actually trying to provide a service so people didn't have to lose loved ones or pets.
Okay,
and I was
I agree. Okay. I agree. That's what it seemed to me as well he was doing. He was offering, this was a breakthrough in conquering death. Okay, you know, conquering death. We wouldn't, you know, I think you're right. At the funeral scene, he says, people won't have to do this anymore. We won't have to put people in the ground. People won't have to die. We can just transfer their consciousness, essentially. But what I couldn't figure out is, why is he putting people's consciousness or brains or whatever into animatronic dinosaurs? Why not put it into a human body? Like another... Why not put it into another human body? Why is it a humanoid robot? Why is it a dinosaur?
It seems like getting an animatronic dinosaur would be the hardest thing to get.
Why not Frankenstein this? Why not put it into a Frankenstein?
And I guess the idea is ultimately because this director was given an opportunity to rent an animatronic dinosaur for 2 weeks before it had to go to Thailand to be in an amusement park. So that's probably the reason why.
Reverse engineer the movie from that?
Oh yeah, Jason, they did. This whole movie. All right. So writer director Stuart Raffel said in an interview, the idea for this film only happened because they had access to a full size T-Rex animatronic. A guy came to him who owned theaters in South America and said he had T-Rex that was going to a park in Texas. The eyes worked, the arms moved, the head moved. And Stuart said, I want to make a movie. And they go, well, what's the story? And he's like, I don't know. But we need to start filming it in 2 weeks. So let's go. And they wrote a story and they started shooting it in 2 weeks. And that was how they got this movie up and running, was just basically like, use this before it goes to Texas.
Well, then here's, okay, then I have an update. Then well done.
Yeah.
Like if that's the case, then this is
hats off.
Way better hats than off. It has any business being.
By the way, the dinosaur even looks good in certain moments. Like there's moments.
I mean, listen, if I know there's a T-Rex, I want to see it like running and I want to see it being more of a T-Rex. And
you don't
I
want, thought how about the gut you know,
there
rips.
Were limitations.
The gut rips were pretty great. We never saw that in Jurassic Park. People just getting their guts ripped out. I loved
that shot where he tears the guy and then it frames down and he's holding his guts and intestines. I loved that. That stuff was funny. Like, they played it for good.
This movie is funny.
They played it for good. Here's what I'll say. The movie is, I think, and correct me if you guys think differently.
Yeah.
I felt like the movie understood its campiness, you know, and understood
yes,
that
totally
they were.
Yes, I totally agree.
And in a way that actually benefited the movie, if I'm not being clear, this was a wildly enjoyable watch. You know what I mean? I really enjoyed it.
But I think what I really appreciate, and I'll go back to like Velocipastor, is the directing of it. Here's another kind of my big bold statement. The directing of it was actually really like capable because by keeping like Denise Richards grounded, it actually like, she's not like winking at the, like there, a lot of people are not winking at the audience. They may be doing bold, big performances, but like people are buying into these like weird giant characters and it kind of works. It like, I don't know what it is about it. Like,
well, when Billy shows up to Denise Richards' house, Tammy's house, the scene we talked about earlier with like, and they do a home invasion, the parents look out the window and are like, oh, it's Billy again. And it's like, okay. That works in a movie in which you're the parents of a teenage daughter whose ex-boyfriend is kind of hassling her, right? But what then happens is they are the victims of a 30-person home invasion. And that's where this movie is like, wait a second, what? Because they should be like, oh no, something insane is happening, but they're treating it as if it is the regular movie version of, oh, Billy is an asshole.
I gotta say,
Billy is an insane character.
He says on the phone, and June pointed this out to me, he's in a gang. They underscore he's in a gang. Like this is a real gang. He went to prison. But there's something really interesting about this guy, Billy, the guy who plays Billy. I listened to an interview with him and he was like, yeah, I looked through the script and I was like, this is great. It's a big lead part. And I was excited to be there and went on. Like when he talks about the movie, there was no like sense of, it was a big campy, dumb movie. It was sort of like, this is great. Awesome. Like a lead role, got some great moments in here. Got to work with great actors. And
most people working on anything are excited and are assume that it's going to be good. Like
I'm talking about this interview happened like a year ago.
Okay.
I'm not saying that like I'm just saying that like there is a sense where, I guess what I'm thinking of is I think the director knew it was campy, but I don't know if the actors quite understood because I don't even know how much they were on set with the actual T-Rex, right? So they may have been like, I'm in a high school movie and then they're shooting all these T-Rex scenes. So you know what I'm saying? So I think there was a weird way, like of keeping people separate. So you created this energy that you got like a 10 Things I Hate About You with a gnome named Gnorm.
I can't.
I mean, it is this was a bizarre movie to watch. Because I think you're right. Scene to scene, it is tonally, even though there is a common tone throughout and it is campy, scene to scene, you're right. Some scenes just feel like, hey, we're now having a scene that's just high school party. Uh-oh, the bad guys showed up. Okay, cool. Now, though, there's a dinosaur that's going to squash people, bite people's heads off, and kill everybody. But it's totally still a party. You know, like, so people can still be like, wait, what's going on? Ah, he's being silly. But then there's like... then there's like a T-Rex head comes in and is like, chomp, chomp, chomp. You know what I would love right now?
What?
I would love you guys to switch spots.
We could definitely do that.
See in a few.
All right, hold on.
I do want to see how I look in that lighting.
Okay, guys, it's happening. This is happening. We're going to see exactly what's going on, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. And next time we do one of these, everybody's got the lights. Oh, wow. Full screen, huh? Look at me. Oh, I see. Beep. Beep, boop, beep, boop. Beep. This is the... Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
I mean, June, gorgeous. June, you look
I can't
gorgeous.
Even hear you yet. I've never... looked better.
Oh my God. This is
I
electric.
Mean, I've literally, I'm stunned by myself. I'll say it. Yeah. I really am. I took my own breath away.
I mean, look at yourself. Look at this.
It's hard to even look at it straight on because it's so...
And you see how I lined up my eyeline there so you can kind of look.
I just saw in the chat, June, that the screen grab of this now is going to be next month's Vogue cover.
Wow.
I mean, it should be.
Since I've been doing my Twitch channel, I've been on Vogue, the cover of Vogue, 3 times from this.
Wait, what?
Yeah, oh, yeah, just
cannot
because of
believe
the...
you've been hiding this lighting from me. Wow. 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 Yeah. I mean, I want to ask you, Paul, how does it feel where you're sitting now?
Great. I was like, honestly, if I had a partner who set up this situation for me, the computer,
you know what?
The lights.
I do want to say Paul does a lot for me in that area. And I do appreciate it. I just didn't know. And I've always appreciated it. I didn't know you were doing this for yourself, though. So
hey,
I hope you understand now I have some
I got to take care of number one.
Number one.
So obviously, we have opinions about this movie. There's a lot to talk about here, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions, and enjoy this listener-submitted second opinion song. Take a look.
Second opinions go from Amazon. Tammy and the T-Rex was a total bomb, but some people thought it was good. And those people made their opinions understood.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
Great.
First of all, great work. Good backdrop.
Nice
talent.
Length.
Yeah, it was very short, succinct, to the point. Well done.
Here's what I'll say about that guy.
Who was that?
I'll tell you in a second. His name is Moderner. Moderner is what we got. And I'll say this. If I was looking for a body to put my brain in, I would put it in Moderner. Moderner from the
you
Discord. So thank you.
Actually, I'll say this to both of you. I would... If I had to choose, you would both be people I might put my brain in.
Wow.
What a compliment.
I thought you'd like to hear that. Yeah.
That's really nice. Thank you for sharing that, June.
Yeah,
These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon.
Now, sorry, Paul, if you don't mind, can I just examine that for a moment?
Sure.
Let's say, for example, June, you and I were in a terrible accident, mm-hmm. right? You did not survive, but I did.
Knock on wood.
You did not survive, but I did, but I'm brain dead. So they put your brain into my body. Are Paul and I now married?
Well, I don't know. I asked Paul, would you still love me if I was
this
in Jesus'
body?
This
is the secret. This is the secret all over again. The David Duchovny movie that you were not a part of.
That's right. We did this movie.
We did this movie. We did this movie, and
June, I don't think you were there though.
No, she wasn't.
You told me what the movie was about, and
we played the scene for you. Yeah.
Yes.
So you would say that either way, Jason would have to be dating me, or I'd have to be dating Jason. So one of us would be together. I honestly think that we
you
could probably
would still
pull it off.
Be with June.
Right.
You would be with June.
Wait,
it would
so
just
you're not?
Be
you're saying
body.
You wouldn't still love me? If
no, I'm
I
saying
was
I was
I,
what
Jason's
I did. What
body?
I just said was I think we could pull it off. That was my answer. I think we could pull it off.
Well, that's not strong enough.
That's huge. You know that's me saying I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work.
I'm going to give you guys a minute.
Baby, what's going on? I had your back there. I don't know why. Don't embarrass me in front of the live
Listen,
stream like this.
Just coming quickly with a strong answer. Yes, of course I would still love you if your brain was in Jason's body. It's really
okay,
quite
simple.
We
had a technical issue there. You had a question, June?
No, I was just saying, would you still love me if my brain was in Jason's body?
Absolutely, June. I would still love you. I would still love you no matter where your brain was, because what I do love about you, your brain. And even though you look absolutely gorgeous under this lighting.
Yeah, you certainly light me like all you care about is my brain.
Wow. Wow. And now I remember in a previous show when I lit you pretty well, you got really mad at me. You got really mad at me about that lighting. And then when the lights went off, you actually said, oh, actually, that was good lighting. I was like, you know what? It's pretty good lighting. It's pretty good light. And I did turn off the above the headlights for you, but you turned them back on. So that's on you. Anyway, Jason, so these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon.com. 4.5 out of 5 stars. There are 216 total reviews. 71% are 5-star reviews. 2% are 1-star. Let's have Jason and June on the screen so they can react to these as well. This one is from Amber Kennedy, and Amber Kennedy writes, I love this movie more than most of my family members. 5 stars. Which I thought was like an interesting way of couching it. Like, you gotta have the right audience here. This is not gonna be for the whole family.
Oh, I thought she was saying I love the movie more than I love my family members.
No, I love this movie more than most of my family members. Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying. Oh, wait, maybe you're right.
I think that is what
that is
this
right.
reviewer
oh, wow.
is
saying.
Not more than my most.
I think this reviewer is saying I would choose
given
to
the
keep
choice.
This movie and allow my family to die.
By the way, Amber Kennedy, I hope you don't get that wish, but I appreciate the sentiment. That is probably one of the best 5-star reviews we've gotten. I'm sorry I misinterpreted it. This is from just a random Amazon customer. The title is Best Movie I've Ever Seen, and it is, this is simply the review. Jurassic Park wants what this movie has. 5 stars.
Which is what?
Oh, romance. There's no romance in Jurassic Park. Yeah.
That's the other thing I wanted to mention is they do the thing that Jurassic Park does too, which is that they have the T-Rex's footsteps cause like earthquakey kind of thing. So wouldn't everybody in town be like, there's an earthquake? You know, that was the other thing. Like, everybody kept being like, anyway, go on.
Look, they roll up a body in this movie. They roll up a body like a fruit
roll
up.
They roll up a body.
They roll up that
flattened body. I laughed so hard when they rolled up. They kept calling him by his name. He's that jacked guy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Ron.
Oh, by the way.
And they roll him up like a newspaper they're going to deliver.
I got to talk about Ron for a second. So Ron is this guy who is... This whole crew, the whole scientist crew is wild. And this guy is like basically like a bodybuilder. He's like in a crop top or tank tee or whatever he's in. It's like more chest than anything. And Terry Kaiser is also in another movie that we did, Mannequin 2 on the Move, which directed by the same guy. And he also has henchmen in the same crop top. You can see it here. So that's from Mannequin 2 on the Move. And this is from, from this. So he basically, I don't know if it's a Terry Kaiser choice or a director's choice. I love this choice. I love it. I love that his henchman always wants bodybuilder like thugs with him at all time. Really, really solid. And then this final review is from Justin Palmer. And Justin Palmer writes this. Saw this movie when I was really young, but always thought I dreamt it up. Men's crop tops and T-Rexes have haunted me since I was a child. Very excited to tell my therapist it's a real movie and not something I imagined. 5 stars. The title, reassuring.
Oh my God.
And this is kind of the same thing that we found with the peanut butter solution, which is people are traumatized. When if you see this at at an early age, you know, this could get into your psyche in a weird, bad way.
It also seems to be, because I'll be honest, I had never, before it came up on our radar, you know what I mean, when it seemed like something we would do, I had never heard of this movie.
No.
You know, I wasn't aware of this movie, even though it has people in it that we know. It's not like there are movies we've done that I've never heard of because they really were, you know, under the radar type of movies. But this has like, this has people in it. This has, this is about, you know, this is the same time period as Jurassic Park, and it has dinosaur, blah. I've never heard of this.
It is a wild film that, by the way, thanks to Vinegar Syndrome for restoring it to its true vision. I mean, they really, Snyder cut, they made a Snyder cut of this movie. By the way, I'm going
to
say this.
What happened to me when I went into this lighting?
Well, and the chat the chat is calling your look, June, juminescent. That is a chat, the word they have invented. I will ask one final question before we wrap it up here, and say this. How did Paul Walker's body decompose to be full of maggots and rats within 12 hours?
So quick. He was so like undone.
12 hours?
I mean, because
I mean, it's maybe max. It's 48 hours
max.
You know, I think the body does decompose twice.
Pretty quickly.
That quickly?
That seemed really quick.
Wait, June, why do you know this?
All right, I'm gonna. No, I'm not gonna get dark.
No, man, don't.
June knows where I'm gonna go.
There's no. I think the reason
I've been
because
close
they
to
wanted,
the situation. You have time.
I think they wanted to have the gory thing. I think they wanted to have maggots and rats and for her, Denise Richards, to be like scared and whatever.
Let me tell you this. This is how the movie should have been. We got to put his brain back in his body, and then they do it, but then he comes back and he's all fucked up like that. They didn't okay it. Like there was some.
Now he's got like a zombie body. Great.
By the way, with that lighting, it really works. That joke wouldn't have worked on my beautiful lighting there.
No,
because it could never look like a zombie there. And again, you heard my T-Rex impression. Now you've seen my zombie impression. This is a big, big show for me. I appreciate everyone coming out tonight. This has been so great to do these live shows. We love doing them. Hopefully we'll be able to do this live around the country once again. But, in the meantime, we may come back and do another one of these if you want that. And, but more importantly, you can find us in different places all over, right now. Jason, June, you want to tell anybody, where they can find you?
Okay. Yes. So Jessica St. Clair and I have our own podcast coming out called The Deep Dive on April 28th. So please subscribe. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be wonderful and insane. And the Jane Club is hosting a summer summit called Lift As We Rise. And it's a weekend retreat. It's going to be so special. And tickets right now are $25. If you head to janeclub.com and go on to click on Summer Summit, you can buy tickets and do it right away because the prices are about to go up. And that's all I got, Paul.
I'm going
to
say that I've seen so many people that experienced that weekend retreat, and it seems
absolutely amazing.
And if I didn't have to be the parent on call during those weekends, I would be there 100% because you run. It's absolutely inspirational and really, really cool. I got to hear a lot and actually hear everybody talk about how transformative it was. So definitely check that out.
I mean, Paul isn't listening in on the sessions.
No.
People are sharing and
journaling. No. I'm hearing about what happened.
Intimate, authentic, and vulnerable conversations. Yeah.
I'm not a part of that. I'm just saying I've heard. I'm not outside of the door with the children with a cup up trying to hear it all. Jason, what do you got?
I am the voice of Rex Splode in the Amazon animated show Invincible, which is an adaptation of the Robert Kirkman comic series Invincible that is fantastic. It's up now. Season one is running now on Amazon. It is an animated superhero show that is gory and brutal and incredibly fun and funny, but really is a superhero show for adults. So I can't recommend it enough. It's a fucking blast and it's really, really great.
I Absolutely love it. Robert Kirkman, who created The Walking Dead and also created Invincible, the comic book series. It is like, if you, for lack of a better term, it is like Walking Dead meets The Boys in many, in many respects, and then also not like that at all, too. It's just great.
It's a great, it's a great superhero story. It's great superhero storytelling, but it's also all about what it is to be a human being inside of like, because the consequences of their actions, they have to deal with throughout the series. And that's what's different as opposed to other superhero shows. And then I will also, just because it's Kirkman, I'll recommend his comic right now. Firepower is coming out right now in issues drawn by the incredible, one of my favorite artists, Chris Somney. So I recommend picking that up just as a comic recommendation, 100%. And as I've said a couple of times before, Yasmin Williams' Urban Driftwood album of the year so far.
Love that. I will talk to people about...
And the Cassandra Jenkins record. And the Cassandra Jenkins record.
I will quickly just mention that I have jumped into streaming. I have a Twitch channel, which is called Friendzone. So go to twitch.tv/Friendzone and you can see a whole range of stuff. Rob Hubel and I host a show on Thursday nights. David Wayne does a piano bar on some nights. Courtney McBroom is going to be doing a cooking show. Adam Pally and I punch up your tweets. We actually wrote an Academy Award monologue the other night. Julian Villard and I do a show where we make a song of your life. There's a bunch of fun shows. We do a focus group with like real comedians. Jason and I have gone on there to do like some live choir chat. And there's Unspooled Live, and we also have Screen Test, which is a game show on there. So we have a bunch of fun stuff, all free, all on Twitch. You don't need to do anything different. It's just like YouTube, just twitch.tv/friendzone, and check out all the good stuff there. Watch all the recaps on my YouTube. And I will also plug that coming back May 23rd, Black Monday season 3 is beginning, and catch up on season 1 and 2 before season 3 starts. And this season has been we're shooting it right now, and it's so much fun and such good stuff. I can't even really tell you what it's about yet, but it will be great. May 23rd, I think that's when it starts, roughly. Check it out in that zone. I want to give a huge shout out to Cody, our super producer, for putting this together. I want to give a big shout out to Molly, who, even though she slammed me about the lighting, I still think is an incredible VIP. Avril Halley, one of our producers who picks all of our films, which is an amazing job of cutting our clips and cutting all these really great stuff. Nate Kiley does all of our research. Nate, you're a champ, a true, true champ. And I also want to give a shout out and some love to the Ghost of Craig T. Nelson and Kyle Waldron, who do some of our amazing art that you find on all of our social media pages. July Diaz, who listens through the whole show. And the person who is always making sure that this show sounds perfect, Devin Bryant, our audio engineer. And I want to give a final shout out to everybody here at On Location Live. What a crack staff. Kayla was been on our video clips and everything today. She's been absolutely amazing. So thank you, Kayla, for all that hard work. And thank you to all of you for being here and spending your Friday night with us. And we hope to do it again.
But one other thing. I hope everybody's getting their vaccination shots if they're available. And just a special shout out to all the people who've been quarantining alone and playing by the rules and hanging in there, and just encouragement to get those shots and get on the other side of all this.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. The sooner everybody gets their shots and it is safe to be inside theaters doing this live.
Oh my God,
The sooner we will be in your town and you can be in the theater with us.
Yes.
That's happening.
I cannot wait to get back on the road.
Yes.
It only happens if we get there. Herd immunity, vaccinations. Please.
Look, there's nothing more like important than all of us being in a movie theater in June to see the new Fast and Furious movie. And if that should be the motivating factor for all of you right now.
Yeah.
To see these magnets.
I don't want to be sitting on a stage with thousands of you balcony monsters just spitting your droplets at me.
No way.
I don't want it.
I'm wearing a mask in the balcony. I'm making this thing now. I'm wearing a mask in the, and maybe even a hazmat.
You should have always been wearing a mask in the balcony, to be honest.
Let's be honest. I'm pretty sure the balcony is a wet market.
Yeah. Absolutely. The balcony was a collective patient zero.
Because I'll be honest, most balconies have bats.
I mean, I will say that by the way, this is such a, it didn't come out in the news, but a lot of people do think that this may have started in our Seattle show where we released the visitor episode.
I would not doubt it.
So we apologize for that. By the way, if you heard the visitor episode, you can see some of the rowdiness of that balcony. It's what all balcony monsters aspire to. And by the way, because we're here and we're just chatting, visit our Discord, discord.gg/hdtgm. And if you want something that's a little bit more, maybe a little different, there's discord.gg/Paul Scheer, which also has an equally amazing community, great moderators in both, amazing people in both, and also very different people in both. So find your flavor and stick with it. But I love our Discord so, so much. And I love how much they are supporting the show and all here tonight. So thank you, our Discord mods on both sides.
And that was and I feel like we are, you know, we're close to being able to do live shows again. And I want to be able to get those babies. It's been too long since I've held a stranger's baby.
Yeah. And there are going to be a lot of like pandemic babies. You know?
Oh, yeah. I want to hold all the pandemic.
Wait, June, what?
What?
Are you trying to tell me something?
No, I'm just saying that like a lot of people,
June,
have been
tell me
using
the
this
truth.
Time
you, June,
to...
No, Jason's not here. Are you pregnant? Are you pregnant right now? Oh, yeah. My God. God
I
damn
know
it.
How to
bring
say
bring
it.
Jason back in.
I don't want you to be upset about it. It's not the reaction I wanted. Hey, Jace.
Hey, what's going on? What did I miss? I was pooping.
Oh, nothing. Wow, you that missed was nothing. Quick. Yeah, no, everything's fine.
Everybody, thank you so much. We appreciate you so, so much. Good night. Thank you, Jason. Thank you,
Good
June.
Night.
Thank you, Denise Richards. Thank you, T-Rexes. Thank you, Terry Kaiser. Thank you, Paul Walker. See you next
time.
We did it. Bye-bye.
We did it. Woo-hoo.